I'm Sandy Crowther, President-elect of PDK, and today's moderator for this forum. We will hear from the two candidates. You all got the sheet in your packet. They're vying for PDK International President-elect. Each candidate will be given 4 minutes to respond to each question. At the end of the session, each candidate will be given the opportunity to make a closing statement of not more than 5 minutes. Jeannie Storm, down here, our Assistant Executive Director, will serve as the timekeeper. And they know what card she's using and what it means. Our candidates are Frank Nappe and Kathleen Andreessen. And you have the bio, which I held up. They decided ahead of time, to be fair, Frank will be starting so that Kathy has the first chance to hear someone else's answer. And then at the end, for closing, Kathy will go first and Frank will do the final closing. So those are the procedures we worked out from their point of view. So, are you both ready to begin? Question number one. Describe your professional experiences in education and your experiences in PDK and how those experiences have prepared you for holding the position of International PDK President.
Can you hear me? After being in the last meeting, I asked that, of course, because I couldn't hear back. Well, you can see from my resume that I'm a freak of nature. When I was knee-high to a grasshopper, I always wanted to be a math teacher, even though I don't know what a math teacher was. This past September marks 50 years since I walked into a math classroom in New York City. And I am still teaching mathematics, and I will teach until they carry me out. Somewhere along the line, they tricked me into becoming an assistant principal. So I had to remain teaching math, I had been teaching in math in college for the last 8 years before that, so I'm still teaching in a community college mathematics for the last 43 years. After becoming an assistant principal, I became a mentor of principals in New York City that were on the verge of losing their building for various reasons. Some of the worst schools in the city. After doing that for 1 year, I became a principal. I'm only answering it in terms of you asked me what qualifications I have. During the time I was a principal, I was given the task of supervising building a new school. The new building cost $124 million. And I can tell you this as a fact, it was built on time and on budget, under my tutelage, so to speak. So far as PDK is concerned, I've been a member of PDK for over 35 years. My home chapter is St. John's University in New York City. I've had every position, I guess you can think of in terms of the chapter. I started out by becoming the treasurer of the chapter. We took over the previous administration, and this is unusual for people to listen to this now, but believe it or not, there was an election, and there were two slates, and there were 12 individuals on each slate. Thank goodness we won. I became treasurer. I got the books. The treasurer before me was a CPA, and the books he gave me were $5,000 in the red. So I had a little job ahead of me. I turned around in 2 years, and we made out all right. We were back to $5,000 in the black. And for some reason, I got PDK into my system. So since then, I moved on. I became president. I became alternate delegate. I became delegate. I became an area coordinator when we had area coordinators. And I also became the district rep when we had district reps. That was District 6, which was the largest district in PDK at the time. I was put on the Constitutional Convention Committee as a facilitator, as was Kathy. And both of us have been on the board for the past 6 years. The amazing thing about it is, and I say this in all honesty, is normally we wouldn't sit these far away from each other. There's somebody in between us. Anybody who's ever come to a board meeting knows that Andreasen always sits next to Nappy, and Nappy sits next to Andreasen. We don't always agree upon everything, but we talk about everything. Some people tell me that I've got PDK in my blood for some reason, that I always talk PDK. I became the financial chairperson of the committee. I was appointed by your prof, as a matter of fact. And I took the situation in hand, which used to be a budget with 5 or 6 pages, and worked on it for 2 or 3 years to a point where people could see it. And from now on, it's only 2 pages long. And I've done more things since then, but I'm out of time.
Kathy, describe your professional experiences in education and your experiences in PDK and how those experiences have prepared you for holding the position of International PDK President.
First of all, welcome everybody and thank you for coming. I really appreciate the time that you give to the governance part of our organization. When we used to be all governance, and now we're doing governance as a side to the actual mission and goals of PDK. I see a lot of past presidents, and I appreciate you here because you are my mentors. On your shoulders, I have climbed. Sherry, Eve, Rick, I see you there. If I've missed somebody else that's still sitting here as a past president, I apologize. Somebody's pointing towards someone down the line. Oh, Jack is hiding behind Malaine there. Thank you for being here. I really do appreciate it. I've learned from each of you. I started education at my grandmother's table coloring napkins. She was a one-room schoolhouse teacher who had 9 grades and as many as 30-some students a year up in the canyon in the mountains of Colorado. I watched her fill out her lesson plans while I colored those napkins, and somehow it doesn't take much for a child to see what their future, what their career might be. My father was a high school teacher, basketball coach right after he got out of the service in World War II. He had a whole big $2,200 job. And when I finished and got my first check for the year, a $5,000 salary, I thought I was riding high. Since that time, I've taught high school. I've been a coordinator of staff development. And I've worked with teaming and change in a large district in the state of New Mexico. Along the way, I picked up a couple of degrees, including my PhD, and continue to teach and teach adults now about training and development. So I teach adults about how to train and how to work in their organizations, adults in many settings, not just education, but in business and industry. My company that I own now does consulting to the State Department of Education as well as local districts and local public schools. So I have the opportunity to walk in many different places that I wouldn't have had if I'd stayed within one district. Right now we're looking at 23 different rural school sites in New Mexico with some money that the legislature gave them to revitalize their communities. That's fascinating when you go to a district that has 38 kids and a district that has 700 kids and they're struggling to keep up with all the rules and regulations that still have to be followed no matter what size that district is. Some time back there, one of my fellow colleagues tapped me on the shoulder and said, I want you to come to a meeting, and I was introduced to PDK. I've never stopped going to the meetings. There was something about it that grabbed me from the get-go. It was my inner calling that suddenly came to me that I love public education. I see it as the cornerstone of democracy, and whatever I can do to forward that cause is why I'm here.
Thank you, and in all fairness, you will get to speak 2 times in a row. I'm going to read you the second question. Kathy. Declining membership has been a big problem, and many chapters no longer seem to have the personal contact with members. How can we reverse this trend?
Ooh, I think this is one of the biggest challenges that we have. The world is changing. The population is changing. Our demographics are changing. Chapters that once had as many as 100 people come out to a meeting are now struggling to get 6 or 8 to come to even a session to figure out what to do. I think technology has to come in as part of the answer. We've got to reach out to people in a different way. I don't think face-to-face is gone at all. I think there is a need for face-to-face kinds of meetings with chapters and with members. But I think we have to be more creative in thinking that a once-a-month dinner meeting is still what people want. Younger educators are looking for something different. They're looking for a different kind of connection to their career. They're looking for a different approach to how they can make a difference in their community. The degree to which we can help chapters figure that out, I think, is the degree to which PDK will save itself and move into the future. We've got to be the resource. We don't have the answers. If we did, we'd do it right now. If we had it bottled and could go buy it down the street, we'd go get it. But we don't have that answer yet. What we've got to do is help the chapters figure that out. And that means providing them any kind of resource that we can think of, whether it's live or electronic or print or focus or whatever we can do. We need to jump in saying, how can the international office, how can the international board, how can your regional representatives help you figure it out? It's the good work that you do in your community that will save PDK. You are PDK. Your chapters, your members are PDK. What can we do to support you in the good work in your community?
Thank you. Frank.
Ditto. Plus.
Do you need me to read it to you?
No, it's okay.
Okay.
Plus the fact that when we came into this new PDK, because remember, I was part of the old PDK when we were fraternity and we were old boys network. And we're not that anymore, and it takes some time to change. One of the things I said immediately as a regional rep is I don't want to hear the word membership anymore. And what I meant by that, and I explained it, is I didn't want people just to go out there and grab people and bring them into PDK, because it's very easy. My own chapter can bring in 40 or 50 members every year. It doesn't do any good if they're not a member in a year or two. So what I've challenged my region to do, and I'm doubly challenged it this year, I put it out in my Frankly Speaking, is we have to look for what I call stable members. You just don't walk up to somebody and say, join PDK. Talk to them about PDK. Bring them to a chapter meeting. See if they're interested in what our organizations are all about. If they say yes, that's the person to bring on. For the last 35 years, I brought on probably more members in PDK than anybody I know. And most of them have been officers in the chapters that I brought them into. Many of them presidents. Some of them have even become CMLs. We were on the right track. We haven't made it yet. We all started evenly about 4 years ago. None of us are at where we were, but I'm glad to say in Region H, we have more members than anybody else. And in the last 6 months, 3 or 4 months, we were in a positive. And right now we're in a negative, but everybody else is, because it's that time of the year, because the old members are moving out. And until you get back to the chapters and talk to the presidents, you know, you got to talk to these people, because they didn't send their money in to be renewed. And they're going back to the old days where it used to take a year to move people out. Now it only takes 1 second. So it's persistence that I push, and teamwork. I don't do anything in Region H. My CMLs do everything. I'm just there to make sure they're doing it, and if they need help, they call me, and we go from there. We're not worried about membership. We're worried about people coming in and staying. Thank you.
Could I have a rebut?
That's
number
2. That's what you got the
5 minutes for, Kathy. We're
number 2. Frank, you get the next question. How can PDK enhance the support given to chapters?
Well, I think I already answered part of that in the last few minutes. The most important thing is teamwork. The most important thing is to be there. The most important thing is to say, if you've got a problem, just pick up the phone or send me an email. And the most important, real most important thing is to follow through on it. The CML and myself went to a 12 to 14 month meeting of a chapter just last week. And the chapter was complaining about the fact that they can't get the list of their membership because they didn't understand how they could get it off the internet. We explained it to them. We also told them to call International the next day. When I got home, within a half an hour, I got it off the internet myself and sent it to them by email. The thanks I got was amazing. And I have that chapter's full support now in terms of anything happening in their chapter. They've got their 12 or 14 month review without any problem at all. And we'll be going to one pretty soon doing the same thing. It's teamwork, communication, support. And the support is the most important thing.
Kathy, how can PDK enhance the support given to chapters?
Well, I think I'd start with training of all of the key people who touch those chapters. The international board or region reps, the way we're structured right now, the CMLs. CMLs need the training so that they are highly qualified to go out and to support chapters. We can support their work by publicizing extensively the things that are going on, the good work that they're doing, the good people that they've discovered, the great projects that they're putting on. We've got to find ways to share that. Okay. Can you hear me now? I didn't know you didn't hear me through all of that.
She didn't know she could shut hers off. Oh. Turn it on.
Do I have to turn it on? I think mine is on green.
It's on. You're on.
How can we support our chapters? Getting in Verizon network so that we can really connect. No, I think the more we can publicize what the good things that PDK is doing, how we can coordinate and cooperate with other organizations to push forward the public education agenda, how we can support the work that we see that they're doing through chapter projects or through a trained CML or a trained office staff person who can get out there immediately to give them quick answers, that will help all the chapters.
What role do you see the CML playing in continued chapter support?
I think that role is evolving.
You next.
And so at the moment, I can't tell you exactly how that role is going to play out over the evolution of what we're in right at the moment. We're not the old PDK, but we're not yet a new PDK either. We're moving that direction. We're looking at that role and how it plays out. We're looking at what training they need to be able to support chapters. We're trying to figure out how we can bring in younger people to that role so that they can actually do it along with a full-time job. I've said since I started on the board that something's wrong when you can't pull people into leadership positions unless they're retired. I'm working. Sandy was working until recently. Frank still works. But we're not in the trenches like the 30-year-old who has the pressure of a family and a growing career. Somehow we have to figure out ways to support the CMLs who we want to bring in as young leaders into our organization and see that they can do this job and still have a family and still have a job that is their first and primary focus. Training has to be a part of, obviously I'm a staff developer at heart, and I know that training is not the answer, but it's part of the answer. If we can figure out what the CMLs need to be able to get out there and work with chapters, then we can figure out the program to support that effort. It's not the old PDK. It's not the same kind of training that we've done in the past. It's not the book of here's what the officers do, go out and train officers. It's something different than that. And again, I don't know yet what that is, But I'm very hopeful that we can figure it out as we start to re-envision PDK as a different sort of networked organization.
Frank?
Well, Sandy's, Kathy's actually given you the answer in terms of the board itself is working on it right now, and something that we, I'm surprised at the question in that sense, is something we've been discussing for the last 6 to 8 months, and we still haven't come to any conclusions. Except possibly to change the name CML because they don't seem to like it. They used to be called area coordinators. They felt a little bit better about that. I don't know. But it's changing. We're not the same, as she said, we're not the same PDK we used to be. And the problem with some of the CMLs, if they're old-timers and been around for a while, they're still trying to do things the same way. Communication, training, support. That's all we can do in the meantime until the board comes up with another solution, which I assume would come by next July.
Right. PDK is an international association. How can the PDK board better fulfill the organization's mission internationally?
That's a very difficult question to answer because, you know, I'm going to start off again. I have to sooner or later. My name is Frank, and I always have to be. We're an international name only. Number-wise, we don't have that much. And I say that, and I feel bad about saying it because some of my strongest chapters are outside the United States, like the University of Toronto. The European chapters, and I was surprised when I took over and found this out, is most of them are APO numbers. They're Americans. We're finally moving in, thanks to our ED, our executive director, who's taken a trip to China, and we've gotten some movement there. And we are starting to go into other areas. But in all honesty, we want to say international, we want to move into international, but there's a double-edged sword there. Until we accomplish our purpose of membership, and we need money to do that, to become international, our most important goal first is to stabilize our membership. Once we've stabilized our membership, then we can move on with the international end of it. We are doing very well in Canada, in some areas not. Support, communication. That's all we can do until we get a stabilized membership.
Kathy, PDK is an international association. How can the PDK board better fulfill the organization's mission internationally?
I think Region A has been poised to be the true international region from the get-go. When we reorganized PDK to the 9 regions, I ended up with the 6 western states and the entire Pacific Rim. I'm wearing my Canadian scarf just to remind us that we are international. Canadians in the audience. How can we? It's outreach. It's continuing to contact teachers. It's continuing to respond to teachers who question what's PDK when they run across it. It's encouraging folks who have an interest in PDK to go a little further. I was just out in the hallway with 5 people who are here from Saipan who want to start a PDK chapter. Do you know how far they came? And they were supported by their public education department to come and find out about PDK. And then they wanted to know where could they get the money to have somebody come help them organize. And I said, well, it's not going to be money that helps you. I will get on iCore, our new interactive technology that we are beginning to use more frequently. And I will get on iCore and have them on iCore in Saipan, and we're going to discuss how they can start an effort to create a chapter. I won't spend $3,000 on the ticket. I won't have to go 2 days in an airplane and then try to be coherent and work with a community. We'll start electronically. I'll support them with materials, efforts, on email, any way I can to get them talking in their community about what would a PDK chapter look like, What would a PDK chapter do in Saipan? Why is it? What's the purpose of their chapter? So that they have a focus and a reason to join together and do good work in that community. I think technology for the international member is where we have to head. We have to connect with people in a different way. Perhaps they'll be members of my Hawaii chapter. Electronically, they can go to the meetings. I attend monthly meetings of the Hawaii chapter all the time. I can have them join that chapter for a little while till they're comfortable and then get themselves onto their own chapter. And we can do that electronically. It's a different world.
And now the sixth question, Kathy. PDK recently adopted a new vision statement. PDK, the experts in cultivating great educators for tomorrow and ensuring high-quality education for today. What activities can PDK pursue to fulfill this new vision?
Wow. The board had a brainstorming session, and we took a whole day and came up with lists that filled the walls. I think that noble mission the vision statement that was created that we've embraced, gives us the opportunity to go in many directions, and yet it's focused. I mean, if you look at it word for word, you want to read it again, Sandy?
Yes. PDK, the experts in cultivating great educators for tomorrow and ensuring high-quality education for today.
It's a great statement. We have the opportunity with that vision to go forward with supporting teachers, public education, quality education, education internationally, education in the United States. It is not limiting. It doesn't say just this place, just this time, just this way. It is wide open so that we can create, under that mission, a variety of programs that would meet the needs of the educators as we find them in the diverse communities that we serve. It's not one thing. It's many things. And that umbrella will help us go in a focused direction, though, if we remember that what we're trying to do is create.
You want me to read it again?
Yeah.
PDK, the experts in cultivating great educators for tomorrow and ensuring high-quality education for today.
I think we can do it. It is the way. It is the future of PDK. And it will stand us well as we march into that future that we don't know about. It's an unknown future. But if we keep that focus, no matter what we do, we're on the right track.
Frank, PDK recently adopted a new vision statement.
Sorry,
you got it?
Times.
Okay. The key is, what activities can we pursue?
It's interesting because this is not a political party organization. What Kathy answered was the correct answer. I mean, the only thing I can add to it is that this is our mission statement. Who knows about it? PDK. It's our job to get out there and let the rest of the world know about it. That's the most important thing. People start realizing what PDK is, according to that statement, and then they can start believing it. And when we start pushing the FEAs and showing what they were doing with it, then we'll grow. But otherwise, the answer she gave is the party answer. And we're in the same party.
Okay, Frank, question number 7. One of the goals is to cultivate and support the next generation of educators. How can PDK fulfill that goal?
And that's something we're doing all the time as regional reps and as board members. And it's a matter of training, and it's a matter of being a good role model, I guess, also. I go to ALC meetings all the time, and I run into the same people I've seen for the last 20 or 30 years. And I say, please, next year when you come, and I never use the word young, I say, bring in somebody who's never been here before. And the arguments they give me is, well, you're here, Frank. And I said, yes, but when you first met me, I was an alternate delegate. Then I became a delegate. Then you saw me as an area coordinator. Then you saw me as a district rep. Then you see me now as a board member. And you see me as being on the board of the board of the foundation. And I say, you got the same job you've had for the last 30 years. It would be nice if I met somebody new. You can still come, but bring somebody else. The last ALC meeting we just attended 2 weeks ago with Irma in New York City, the same discussion came up. And the people were talking about new members and how they think differently than we do. And they were going into a lot of the things we've talked about in terms of how they do things differently. And I said, you know, I'm the dinosaur here also. And I said, the problem with the discussion is you're telling me about how the young people think and how they operate. Let's have some of them here so that they can tell us. And I said, I know you don't like, they say to you they don't like to come to meetings. Let's say, fine. Then meet with them and take notes and come the next time and say, this is what they say, not this is what I assume they're doing. I can talk about every culture under the sun, but it's still coming from the dinosaur Frank.
Kathy, one of the goals is to cultivate and support the next generation of educators. How can PDK fulfill that goal?
I think we've taken the first big step, and that's with focus on FEA and making sure that FEA is under the PDK umbrella and something that our chapters are thinking about. My state chapter has adopted FEA as a focus. We want to see that FEA is in every high school in the state of New Mexico, and we're working on that. It's going to take a little while, but that's a goal. If we don't focus on growing our own some way or encouraging younger educators to come into the profession and stay, I think we're going to have an issue not just with our chapters, but with education in general. That's an issue we're facing already. We train a lot of teachers, but they don't stay in the profession. That first 3 to 5 years is so tough that we lose them through the hole in the bucket that seems to be happening. If they had a more realistic picture of education, perhaps they might hang with us a little bit longer. I think FEA could do that, and so the future educators, I think, is a way that we can ensure quality teachers for the next generation by starting sooner to say, here's a possible career. I think it's been unfortunate, and I've probably been guilty of it. You'd have to ask a person in the audience, but I think I have probably been one of those that said, this is a tough job, don't do it. You know, this is really a hard life. You don't do it to get rich. So they've heard that, and that's probably not the conversation that will bring future educators into our career field. Instead, we need to be having conversations about, yeah, it's tough, but you'll never be more satisfied than you will be when you see a kid turn on that you have actually worked so hard to see that spark come in. And when you see that spark and you get that connection in their eyes, you're hooked. You're hooked. And that's the conversation we want to have with young people is you want a career that's a commitment. You want to do something that's probably the most patriotic thing that you can do? We want you. We want you in education. We could do that through our FEA groups. We've got to work on strengthening the line between FEA at the high school level, the community college, the college level, and then working them right into our chapters. We need to strengthen the link between our chapters and the local FEAs. They can model. They can help. They can show them that this truly is one of the greatest careers that you can go into. We wouldn't be here, all of us, if we didn't care about this. We're committed to it. So let's pass that on. Let's talk about the pride in being a teacher, and that will encourage people into our career instead of getting together and having a session where all we talk about are all the issues and all the problems in education. How often do we have chapter meetings where what we really talk about is how much satisfaction this career brings to us? Wouldn't it be great to have the high school kids come in and each one of the dinosaurs in the chapter talk about how how they got here and how much it means to them in their life to have given their career to public education. I think it would be marvelous on both sides. We love to hear kids talk about the essays about why they want to become a teacher. Let's let the older folks talk to the young ones about why they stayed in and what commitment it's given them. PDK can do that.
Thank you. Kathy, question 8. In your opinion, what are the top 3 issues facing public education?
Whoa. Just 3? Oh, let me take a breath. I think probably one of the biggest issues that we're facing is a loss of purpose. That's a big one, guys. We've let the economic community define us. We've let them decide that education is about getting a job. But that's not all that it's about. It can't be just about getting a job. The common good. We have to go back to a purpose and why Thomas Jefferson said we needed a public school system. I believe it's the cornerstone of a democracy. I think public schools have been under attack by people who think it should be more deregulated and corporatized. We've seen what that's given us over 8 years. We've got to get back to the common purpose of an educated citizenry and what that means to a country, to a nation, to the world. We've got to go back to our founding fathers and what purpose do public schools serve. If we think it's only an economic purpose, I think we've probably lost some of the richness that we need in the humanity side of society and culture. So I think loss of purpose is one of them. Second of all, and this is a political statement, that money that's going to war needs to go to educate our children. We're spending far too much in the wrong areas to build the future of a country. War is not, for some industries, it's a growth industry. But if we put it into education, we'd have innovation and creativity and an increase in the economics of our country. It's about getting people to think about their own futures and not be driven to a future by the government or by any corporate entity, the government included. So I guess I've got purpose and then funding, and particular funding. The third would be the diversity that we're facing. Our schools are incredibly diverse. I come from a state where the minority is the majority, and that's going to occur not just in my state, but many other states. How we're facing that and how we're bringing them into the American dream is where we're struggling right now. How can we engage families in a system that they don't quite understand and can't participate in? We've got to break that down somehow so that they are full participants in the education of their children. We know that it's the school, the family, you know our little triangle. It's a true thing. It hasn't changed. We've got to bring in the family to work with a student and to work with a teacher. It takes that threesome to be able to support a child to go and do whatever it is that they want to. We want the American dream to live. The way that happens is through our schools, public schools, supported by PDK, and our voice supporting public schools.
Frank, in your opinion, what are the top 3 issues facing public education?
I got the easier task because I can mention 3 more.
Yeah.
I'm going to prefix it by saying something unusual. The Little Red Schoolhouse, you've all heard of it? Nothing's happened in education that it wasn't in that Little Red Schoolhouse at one time. We as educators go in there and dust things off every once in a while, and we bring them out and we give them new names and say we're going to do this. The question that was asked and the answer that you heard could have been asked 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 40 years ago, 100 years ago, and the answers that Kathy gave would have been the same. We gave up education as administrators and supervisors, and professors in colleges over 20 years ago to the politicians. And they have education now. So what we have to do is get it back. And the only way we're going to get it back is, number one, we have to become a profession. We've never been a profession. We better become a profession someday so we can fight back. We talk about money. The money doesn't come from the federal government. The money comes from your real estate tax in most places in this country. So, and who votes that in but the parents? And the parents are very interested in education. When they buy a house, what's the first question they ask? What's the schools like? So first of all, we have to become a profession. Second, we have to worry about money, but not worry about money in terms of the federal government. The federal government doesn't belong in education. If you read our history, it says education is a state function. But I have to disagree with that for one reason. The other big problem that I see is why I mentioned the Little Red Schoolhouse is we don't have a real system of education in the United States. Every other country has a system of education. In our country, everybody can go to school and everybody can be anything. I'm not saying that shouldn't happen, but we should give some guidelines on how that should happen. Because otherwise, we, as it was discussed this morning, we try to set up benchmarks and we can't even agree about it in 50 states. It doesn't make sense. A simple thing like somebody said, reading and mathematics. Wouldn't we all agree upon that at a certain level? I was a principal in New York City before this new chancellor came on, who knows nothing about education, who I don't like a lot of the things he's done, but I like some of them because he's created change, because the answer I give to people is, where were we before this? Where were we going? And he's created some change. Because I was a principal in the days when over 30% of the students who came into my school read less than the third grade level because they were kicked out of junior high school by superintendents because they hit 16, so go into high school. The amazing thing is we got most of them through anyway and graduated. Maybe it took 5 or 6 years, but it happened. Joel has changed that at least because now he's talked to the elementary schools and the middle schools about they have to have meet standards also. And that's the key word, that standards business again. We have to come together as educators. That's why I said we have to become a profession. We have to be able to speak with one voice. We don't speak with one voice. This organization can help do that. As soon as somebody finds out what PDK is.
Frank, question 9. How can PDK engage the younger, in parentheses, up to 40 years old, generation of educators?
Is there anyone out there?
Yeah.
Right, she did it for me. I was going to say, raise your hand if you're younger than 40. Well, I think Kathy's already answered that question to a degree with the FEA. And that is one of our pushes in PDK. And this is a philosophical difference. You know, she just asked you how many people are younger than 40. How many of you became captains before your 30th birthday? You can't see from here, but there's only about 7 of them out there. I know when I became a captain, I think I was in my late 30s and my early 40s. I don't know what it was. But I was an established in my, excuse the quotation mark, profession as a teacher. We can talk about young people, but we have to talk about it from the point of the FEA. We can't really push these people to become captains in their 20s because they're doing what we all did in our 20s. They're searching for where they're going in their life. They've got a million other things that they can do besides worrying about joining an organization they're going to stay with for a long time. We have to let them know it's there, let them know we're always there for them, as I said before, and when they reach the age and they reach the maturity where we can say, this is a stable member, now I can bring them on, that's the time to do it. In the meantime, we have to let the world know what PDK is. There are very few people out there who know what PDK is.
Kathy, Question nine. How can PDK engage the younger, in parentheses, up to 40 years old, generation of educators?
I just read an interesting article that I will kind of quote a couple of things about. This is what the up to 40s, if you don't go the generational look at what's going on, we can look at it through a technology eyeball. This is the iPod generation coming up. And that may go all the way up into their 30s, as we're looking at them now. The iPod generation, the I stands for internet savvy, phone addicted, opportunistic, and digitally conscious generation. You know, they wouldn't have described my generation that way, or even the generation right behind me, but this one coming up that's in their early 20s and moving into their 30s, that iPod generation is quite different. It's quite different. How can we engage them? Well, we're going to have to use technology, guys. It's a fact of life. It is their life. iPods are... Did you look in your hotel room? You have an iPod dock. How many of you brought your iPod? Look at that. Great. These folks have global attitudes. They are connecting with people around the globe. They're not thinking about somebody down the block or across the city. Their best friend may live thousands of miles away. They are establishing social networks, not face-to-face like we did, but they're doing it online. They're going into MySpace and these other kinds of opportunities to connect, to network, to learn, to drop information. You heard about one of our aspiring educators and the website that he keeps where educators talk. How many of you use email? Almost everybody in here. Email is passé. The younger generation has passed that already. They are into blogs. They are into spaces where if you want to talk to somebody, you go to that site or that space and you talk to that person. You don't do email. Geez, I feel like I've just figured out email. Anyway, they think technology has the answers. If they have a question, they Google it. If they want to know something, they ask someone who gives them someone who gives them someone who they get to the expert who will respond to them and actually give them an answer. How are we going to engage them? We've got to get technology savvy. We've got to start pumping more things that way. I'm not saying give up chapters. I'm not saying give up conferences. I'm not saying give up face-to-face meetings. We need that. We know that. It's part of the humanness of us. But we've got to think about the internet and how we aren't using it, wikis, blogs, things that are out there that we have yet to touch, in terms of how to help our chapters and educators.
We are ready for closing statements. Kathy, you have 5 minutes to make your closing statement.
Well, we didn't really know this, although we did. I guess I didn't read it. So a closing statement. Thank you. I'll give you a New Mexico story. There was once a little group of tiny lizards. We live in the West. There's lots of lizards. And these little lizards all got together and decided they were going to have a competition to see who could run up to the top of the mesa faster than any other little lizard. Now, a mesa is, what would you call it in the East? You don't have them, a hill. It's going to run up the side of a hill. So these little lizards set up this racing competition, and it drew a crowd. Everybody started to hear about it, so everybody came to watch. And off went the little lizards, these tiny little lizards, climbing this huge mesa. And a lot of the people in the crowd started hollering, "You can't do that. You're too little. You're too tiny. You'll never make it." Sure enough, one by one, some of the little lizards were dropping out, falling off. The crowd kept watching. More tiny little lizards trying to climb this mesa. Still hollering at them, "You can't do that. That's too high. You'll never make it. You'll never make it." One by one, the little lizards started falling off. One little lizard made it all the way to the top. Crowd kept cheering and cheering. Finally, someone went to the top of the mesa to talk to the little lizard and said, "How did you do that?" Turns out the little lizard was deaf. PDK kind of has to be deaf right now. Some of the questions indicate that we're worried. Some of the questions indicate that we think we'll not be able to climb this mountain, that we'll never make it to the top of the mesa. You know what? It isn't about me. It really isn't about Frank either. Sorry, Frank. It's about us. This whole thing is about us. It's about the most honorable profession that anybody can go into, teaching. It's the most patriotic thing. I'll repeat that again because I truly believe it. It's the cornerstone of a democracy. It's the most important thing you can do to affect the life of a child, the future of a child, and our country, and all the countries that we touch. Public service, public education. We believe it. We live it. We've got to have that purpose and spread that voice to others who want to join us. We need to stand up. We need to have pride in what we're doing and think that this is the right way and not listen to the crowd who's hollering, "You can't make it, you can't climb that hill, it's too high." It's not time to give up, folks. It's time to be deaf. We still can climb that mountain. We can still get there. We need to engage others in our process. We know that schools shape our future, and we know that schools are part of the answer. PDK needs to be in the schools, with the schools, with the work of educators, not separate, not outside, not something that you do just on one evening a month. We need to be the voice. We need to be the ones taking pride in education and pushing education forward.
Frank, your five-minute closing.
Yeah, I thought Kathy was going to imitate me when she said thank you, because that's what I normally say at this point, because most of you... I'll take the opportunity to finish what I was starting when we first started, and I talked to you about the fact that I was a finance chairperson, and I changed the whole system. Many of you don't realize how complicated it was, to the point that even one of the presidents at one time almost had a frustrating experience because she didn't know where she was going to get $70,000 from, and I just said, it's there, believe it or not. And another person who was very high in our organization actually quit once, because an executive director told him there was no money. And I said to him, why didn't you come to me? The money is there, just people were hiding it from you. We've changed all of that. We now have one sheet as a budget. It's amazing. Everybody can look at it and read it. And one of the things I added to it was put in the percentage. For example, if this is the sixth month of the year, besides seeing how much money we spent, you know it's 50%, so you get an idea of where we are. I moved on from that, and I pushed hard enough to get on to the foundation board for the same purpose, actually. I should have told you a long time ago, every time I join an organization, the first thing I become is treasurer, because the power is where the money is, whether you like it or not. And we had the same problem there, and it's taken a little time, but with the new financial officer we have, we're down to a budget there, which is something that the average board member can read and make out. It sounds silly I should say that, because we're talking about board members with PhDs. But if you ever saw the budgets that came out when we were PDK old to old boys, forget about it. I was a member of the Constitutional Convention as a facilitator. We're a different organization than we were. There's still a few of us dinosaurs around who want to push it back to that, and that's what's stopping us from moving forward. We need leadership in the organization in terms of moving forward. As our own organization, and I speak what I want to see in this organization is teamwork when it comes to the board. The same type of teamwork I brought to the region that I am the regional rep of. And I can promise you that because, you know, I send out, and some of you know it, a Frankly Speaking, which is a column, which is a monthly column. I was the first one to send it out. Not because I was such a bright person, I should send something like that out. It's because I'm crazy, because I live by a word that's called responsibility. And the board made a vote on one time and said, you know, we all should send out a monthly column. I left the meeting and I went home. I wrote a monthly column. Guess what? Nobody else did. It took 6 months, and a couple of them got bashful about it, and whatever word you want to use, and they started writing. Now everybody does. I'll promise you this, if I'm elected president, I will still write a frankly speaking column, but it will be for the whole PVK, so that you won't have to ask what's going on. You'll find out what's going on. Persistence is one of my middle names. I think most of you know that by now. I argued over 6 years ago that the captain is part of PVK. Why isn't it ever mentioned of anything about PVK in the captain? And I got told in so many words, mind your own business, by people that weren't board members. It took a few years, but we're starting to do it now. Isn't that amazing? So I think you should know a little bit about people before you vote. I may not be the greatest orator in the world in terms of anything else, but I really feel for PVK. And I can tell you, I've already said a few things about myself. I'll tell you three more things. When I became a principal, my cabinet called me a teddy bear. And all the students in school and college, when I tell them I was a high school principal, they can't believe it, because they said, he's a teddy bear. 3 weeks after I became a principal, my assistant principal science, what you might call a chairperson of science, I guess, depending on where you were, she came down to a cabinet meeting and she said, you know, teddy bears have claws. I'm interested in PVK. Nothing's going to get in my way in terms of taking us where we started from that constitutional convention until we should be where we're going to be before I'm out of this business. And that means the ED too. I don't care who it is. I'm more interested in PDK than anything else. I live with two mottos. One of them is very simple. It's the old German motto that says, you grow old too soon and smart too late. I'll finish in 2 seconds, if you don't mind, just so I can say it. I'm getting old enough, but I still keep it. The other one I have on my kitchen wall, and I will maintain that particular motto no matter what happens with this election. And I'll stick with that motto and do whatever I have to make TBK better. It simply says, lead, follow, or get the heck out of the way.
I want to thank you all for coming to something late in the afternoon.
And our two candidates, wish you well.